Welcome to the Online Success Journey Podcast, your opportunity to discover and learn from entrepreneurs like yourself. This is not your typical podcast, but a place where you can get the real story and find out how real people encounter speed bumps and detours, but journey through to find success. Now here's your host for the Online Success Journey Podcast, Patience.
Hello everyone and welcome to Online Success Journey. This is episode 221. Are you ready to join the clan? Today we have Risa Golding, an expert when it comes to marketing, automation, and CRM systems. She's passionate about helping companies scale to success using cutting-edge CRM and marketing automation systems. Hello, Risa.
Hi, Patience. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I know the clan here anxious to hear your story. So let's get started with the basics. Can you tell my clan about your background, about what you did before you went on online business?
Yeah, so what happened was that I actually began marketing because I moved countries, similar to you. I saw that you're from Uganda. Mm-hmm. So basically what happened, I'm from the Caribbean as well, Trinidad and Tobago. And 12 years ago, I decided to move to Israel. So when I moved to Israel, I could not speak the language. You know, I didn't speak Hebrew. So I thought, what else can I do? I should probably leverage my English. So I got into marketing, you know, using my background. And from there, you know, I really fell in love with marketing automation and I specialized in a certain platform called HubSpot. So for the last 7 to 8 years, I've been doing HubSpot, implementing HubSpot as a CRM and a marketing automation platform for businesses. And this is what I've been doing since. So as we said before, we got on this call, my goal is to help businesses no longer work on Excel and migrate to using CRM systems.
Wow. But originally you went to Israel for a vacation. So what made you stay?
Exactly. Well, what do we women ever do? Usually we meet some charming young man who, you know, sweeps us off our feet, promises us the world, and then we say, okay, let's try it, right? So I got married to an Israeli, basically. So this is why I stayed.
In 2 weeks? Wow. He was really charming.
I knew him from before, so this is why I came to visit. We got married like a year later, but the point was, you know, I came, I love the country, I love the people. So this is why I really stayed. So he was just a secondary reason, but everything else fell into place for me to stay.
Thank you for sharing. What is the most dangerous belief an online entrepreneur can have?
Well, I think, you know, one of the most dangerous things is probably, you know, when you're trying to set up such systems, it's probably just, you know, figuring out what to do first, you know. Some people get confused by, you know, where they should begin and they try to do too much at the same time. So one of my goals and one of my practices is really to help them sort what should be done first and what kind of things they need to basically migrate to a CRM or even to basically understand how to do best in a CRM. So don't have a fear of the technology so much, but, you know, try to understand your business processes so you would know what to do better in.
Why do you do what you do?
Well, you know, honestly, Patience, first of all, it's like I'm very passionate about what I do. I love what I do. I actually don't feel it's like work. I can do this all day and all night. You know, like I said to you, it's 9 p.m. I'm still in my office. I've been here since 7, but I can't go home. I just love exactly what I do. So, you know, I can do this for hours on end. And one of the things I love about my business is that I get to help entrepreneurs like myself. So I often meet many other entrepreneurs who have great ideas, know they can scale their businesses, but just have the wrong processes in place to help them reach their goals. So just being able to help them unravel this mystery of how to reach a customer is actually one of my passions. So it really doesn't feel like work anymore.
Let's put the man aside. How do you know you are successful?
Well, when I see, listen, if you ever were like a fly on a wall watching me deal with my customers, just seeing the smile on their face at the end of my projects from the time when I began is success for me, you know, because oftentimes, you know, when I first go in to talk about a CRM, people get very hesitant because they have a lot of pushbacks. They first think it's going to be super expensive, or they think, you know, it's going to be a lot of work. How are they going to maintain it? They don't know the technology. So during my engagements, I tend to put a lot of those fears to rest and not really get people feeling so disappointed, or rather, you know, disengaged with the process. So I try to make it very easy for them. I try to take on most of the work upon myself and my team, so they don't get into the nitty-gritty of really setting it up, but they enjoy the results and the fruits of labor at the end when they can see how much more efficient their business processes and their business on the whole is running. So this is how, you know I'm successful, and I really see the success of my work at the end of the day.
Can anyone be an entrepreneur, or are some people more cut out for it than others?
If anyone can be an entrepreneur, actually, you know, I must tell you, after this journey, I have to confess that if anyone told me this is what it would be like, I don't think I would do it. So I don't think anyone can be an entrepreneur, because it takes a certain level of grit, let's call it that, and it takes a certain level of persistence and, you know, sacrifice and so many things that nobody plans and nobody prepares you for, basically. So if you really want to be an entrepreneur, you know, you have to really be willing to go to ground zero with yourself, because it's a very humbling experience. You know, most of us get caught up in the success stories of entrepreneurs. So we look at people like Mark Zuckerberg, and, you know, we see how many billions they have, and we look at, you know, Bill Gates and everybody, and we say, wow, we want to be just like them. But unfortunately, we just see one side of their journey oftentimes. We see the success. This is what the news and everybody portrays to us. And we don't often get into the nitty-gritty of their struggles and what they had to do to get where they were today. So I spend a lot of my time now reading the bios and, you know, just following a lot of these people online to see not just the success stories, but how they got through the hard times. Because oftentimes this is where I find myself getting stuck, that there are days when it does get tough. As much as I love what I do, I don't always like the business side of what I do. You know, there's always a difference between working in your business and working on your business. I often like working in my business and not on my business. So having to deal with things like the tax authorities and the IRS and all these people, and, you know, getting into administrative stuff about my business really gets strenuous for me. But fortunately, my business partner takes away a lot of that from me, so I don't have to deal with it. But still, I have to be involved in some extent. And these are my dark days when I have to deal with those things I don't really like so much in my business.
Wow.
So no, if you don't want to do everything, don't be an entrepreneur.
But nowadays, all the jobs are going online. So we are either going to be forced, or we are just going to say, you know what, maybe this is the next way we are going to live. You've been in business for the last 8 years. What did you have to sacrifice?
Well, so much, really. You know, just recently I spoke on another podcast, and I was saying one of the things that I feel that I miss out on sometimes is being present for my kids. You know, I'm not always available because I often have tight deadlines to meet or projects to complete. So just not always feeling my presence and not having the time to spend with my kids as I would like could sometimes make me feel a bit guilty. But one of the things I have to be grateful for is that their fathers are very involved in their lives. So it's not like, you know, I have basically babysitters, you know, growing them up. They are with their fathers. At least they have one parent. So, but still, you know, I do feel like I miss out on some things because I can't often make a lot of the activities they do. Because of my travel as well, you know, I'm always, you know, in and out as well in business meetings, and I work late hours. So this is one big sacrifice I made. Also, I think, you know, building a business in the first few years, you often don't make any kind of money. So you sort of, you know, sacrifice your lifestyle, you sacrifice, you know, the things you want to do, and it could still take long. I'm still not Mark Zuckerberg, I'm not the millionaire yet. But, you know, I can see in times to come, in a few short years, I will achieve the success that I would like to achieve. But, you know, in the beginning, it's a long road of sacrifice and realizing that you have to dig deeper into your why and realize that you're not in business oftentimes just to make money, because if this is your reason, then you will surely give up very soon. And you will surely lose your zeal and your zest to do what you're doing. So I think one of the best things is to get associated with your why and know what you're doing, why you're doing what you're doing.
What have you learned from business as a whole?
Oh, first of all, there's so much. I think I've learned that I'm stronger than I think I am. You know, I often used to say to myself that I'm not a salesperson because I don't like selling. But I've learned how to be a salesperson. So one of the things that I've seen is my ability to just adjust and really take the hard road and figure it out. But I also learned on the other side about people, you know, what it is they're looking for, you know, what it is they need out of an interaction with you and a transaction with you. Sometimes we always think we are selling what we think we are selling, but it's often more than that, you know. You know, Steve Jobs does it the best when he explains, you know, I'm not selling an iPhone, I'm selling your experience, I'm selling your photos, I'm selling you music in your pocket. And this is exactly how we have to think more about our businesses. And this is something I had to learn. I'm not selling HubSpot, I'm not selling a CRM, I'm selling people, you know, their time, getting their time back. I'm selling the opportunity to be more efficient. I'm selling, you know, other soft skills that aren't always easily identified, but it is something we definitely have to recognize and appreciate when we do these interactions with customers.
In your businesses, do you have a coach or a mentor?
Oh, yes, a coach. Yes, I do have a coach and a mentor. Yes, I do. I work very closely with an agency coach called Claudia Higgins from the Growth Group. So she definitely helps. And I also have personal coaches along the way that assist me. So, yes, I do invest in that because it's something that I think is absolutely necessary to grow myself and my business to where I want.
What is the most valuable thing your mentor has told you?
Actually, I met my personal mentor the other day, who's also another businessman. And he said to me, the minute you are the one working in your business, you don't really have a business. You have a glorified job. So you have to remember that if you want to really be an entrepreneur, you have to get out of your business. You cannot be the one working in your business and doing the projects. Your goal is to really scale your business and see how you can grow your business and not work from project to project. So this is something that I've still been struggling with and working on because, you know, sometimes as entrepreneurs, we get attached to our projects, our babies, and we don't often want to let it go, even though we have a team around us who can do it. We sometimes still feel we must do it. And, you know, this is something I'm learning slowly but surely to let go of and give my team more credit and more what you call bandwidth to actually do the work that is needed to be done.
Tell us the value of using a HubSpot for lead generation and scaling sales growth.
Yeah, so basically, you know, HubSpot, as I mentioned initially, it's an all-in-one platform that really allows you to do both marketing, sales, and service, which is unlike any other platform. Most platforms give you one or the other. They don't always give you all three. What you can use HubSpot for mostly is, first of all, just think about how, if you're a business owner, entrepreneur, how it is you're collecting your contacts today. Most times you just have them on an Excel sheet or you have them in your email or you try to have them in some kind of pocketbook that you think you'd have it and, you know, forbid it that you actually just have them on your cell phone and hoping that you remember or never lose that cell phone. So the CRM is one thing that is free in HubSpot, first of all. So you can always go to HubSpot.com and sign up. And just begin putting your contacts there. let that begin to be what is known as your own little diary where you're keeping all your contact information. But eventually it does more than that. You know, it helps you to track your interactions and how your prospects and your contacts are interacting with you online. As you mentioned, this is an online business, and this is talking about how people should grow their online businesses. And HubSpot is ideal for that because you actually have content online. You have things you're selling online, and you want to know which pages people are visiting, which product they're interested in, which services they're most interested in, which content they're downloading, which blogs they're reading. So HubSpot allows you the opportunity to track all of this, and all of this is still free. Once you upload, once you have the free CRM, you could connect your website to HubSpot, and it begins to actually track all the interactions your contacts are having on your site or any online activities. So this is really the value it brings to you because it gives you more visibility. So you know how to interact with your customers at a very appropriate time and engage with them at a time that is more relevant and not just bombard them with unnecessary emails or spam them, as you would say in online world, with unnecessary content. You know, you give people what's relevant when it's relevant to them.
Oh, so how do you make sure that your sales team really have enough time to sell your product? How do you put that together?
Well, first of all, again, using a tool like HubSpot, it has a lot of administrative features that it takes away from the sales team. So there are lots of tools that are built into the platform that once you connect one time, it allows the sales team to work more fluidly and efficiently. So for example, you can actually connect your Gmail inbox to HubSpot, which means every email that the sales teams are sending are automatically logged under the contact in HubSpot. So you no longer have to wait for an update about what happened to that lead and when did you speak to him or when did you last contact him. So it takes away the ability for the managers to micromanage and you as the entrepreneur to know that your sales teams are actually working, because you can go straight to the system and you can see how many emails they made, how many calls they made, how many meetings they booked, because everything is captured in HubSpot because they have all those tools. They have a calling tool that you could connect your phone line to so you can record the calls and have them under the contacts in HubSpot. There is a meetings tool so you can book meetings with contacts which are directly connected to your calendar and it comes into HubSpot. So there are lots of these little things that helps you to take away, because salespeople hate to do summary of anything. So it helps take away all of that. You even have a business scanner too. So if you want to scan your business card, you could just scan a business card and it uploads the content of the card into the system for you. So you no longer have to walk around with people's business cards. The minute you get it, you can scan it, have it in your system, and that's enough for you. So there are lots of these little tools that really help the salespeople understand what they need to do and as well give them more time to sell instead of just doing administrative work.
Wow. Is this easier for beginners?
Yes, it is. It's a very intuitive tool, I believe. You know, I often go into train teams how to use it. Mm-hmm. But if someone is not like tech afraid, you know, there are some people still that technology is not their favorite thing. But HubSpot is like an iPhone, I honestly say to people. Just like when you buy an iPhone, do you have to really read the manual to know what to do? No, it becomes quite intuitive for you to figure out what you need to do when from the minute you turn on the phone, because certain things are activated automatically. So HubSpot is becoming more and more like an out-of-the-box tool that allows you to do less integration and less setup for yourself. But of course, this is a business tool, so there are limitations, unlike an iPhone, which is more for personal use. So there are limitations, and there are certain things you're required to set up. But a simple thing like integrating your website to HubSpot or doing any of those types of technical things really doesn't require you to know any kind of coding or anything. All you see is little boxes that pop up, just click next, just click next, just click next. And by the time you're done, it's all done for you and you don't even know what the system did, but you know it's connected. So this is how easy it is for someone who is not too tech averse, but it does have a couple of things you have to set up, and they have a very good academy, very good instructions on how to do things. So you're never lost, But again, if you ever want to do it and you need help and you have people like myself, you can call upon, and I'm always happy to help you and, you know, walk you through what you need to do.
Wow. You make it sound very easy.
It is wow. Patience. That's why nobody should be on Excel still.
I will be touching that soon. What is one thing that has contributed to your success?
Wow, patience. One thing? There's so many things. So for one thing that I think has contributed to my success is understanding that no is not an option. Failure basically is not an option. I don't have a plan B. This is my plan A. This is what I love doing. This is what I need to do. So for me, it's like I just operate. No matter how low I get or how dissonant I might feel, it's not an option to give up. It's not an option to fail. So I always find a way out of different difficult situations, and I always find a way to make tomorrow better than today was. So I think having this type of attitude helps. But of course, I must say that, you know, having resources like podcasts like yours and many others that I listen to all the time also definitely helps, because knowing that I'm not alone in this journey and there are many other people doing what I'm doing actually gives me that support system, even if it's a virtual system and I don't really speak or interact with the people. But just listening to other people's stories and seeing how other people get over their hurdles has been a major, major inspiration for me and helping me go on each day.
What is one thing no one knows about you?
No, but I'm pretty much an open book. So listen, when I go into my business interactions, I am very much, I don't operate in a way of hiding things from my customers and stuff. You know, so I'm very much an open book. I think a lot of times my customers are probably, you know, fascinated by my story and by me, because in Israel, I'm probably the only Black woman that owned an agency or owned any kind of real business here.
That is so even, then that's a secret no one knew. You are the only Black person walking on the street.
Exactly. So this is sometimes very fascinating for them, because they don't often see many, because I work a lot in startup companies, you know, and when you go to startup companies, there are no other Black faces in those companies. Okay. So I'm always a star attraction to them, because sometimes they speak to me on the phone, but they didn't realize who was coming to them. So then they are a bit shocked, you know, so this is often sometimes a very interesting period when I visit clients. But by now, more and more people are getting to know who I am in the market. So it's not so much a culture shock anymore. Mm-hmm. But still, you know, you can see it on their faces still sometimes.
Is running your business through Excel spreadsheet is no longer an option?
It's mostly because you could never keep track of things as you would need to keep track of them. So for example, think about as even like right now, you may have one or two salespeople, and you know, we as entrepreneurs, we always work longer hours. Mm-hmm. But we can't expect our team to want to work such longer hours with us. So once they finish their day, we must still have visibility into what they have done for that day. So this is the time that I will take to go into the CRM to see how my team has done and what they have done for the day. So it gives me that relaxation feeling, because I don't have to pick up the phone and WhatsApp them and say, okay, did you talk to that client today? What's happening with this? What's happening with that? I can have that visibility right in my CRM. So that definitely helps. Another thing is simply to increase your market share, right? When you have prospects in an Excel sheet, those are static. That's static information. It doesn't change unless you change it, and most times you never touch it again. So you have no way of actively understanding what changes are your prospects making and what are they doing more online. So once you have a CRM that's picking up their online activities, then it's able to prioritize certain contacts for you. Sometimes you look at your Excel and you would think, wait, these are all really good contacts. Maybe I should start calling all of them. But you may have 100, you may have 1,000. Where do you begin? You don't know who is more important or who is more interested in your product or not. But with a CRM, it will tell you this. It will prioritize these people, because it will say, hey, this person just visited your website today. Or, hey, these people are coming to downloading a lot of your content or reading your blog. So this is something that someone who has more interest in what you're saying or what you're doing. So this is two main reasons I think any business, especially an online business should get a CRM today, because you need to have much more visibility into how your contacts are interacting with you and how your sales teams are dealing with your prospects. Even you, if you're one person business and you are the sales team, you still need to know who in your prospect list you didn't contact for a while and who you should be contacting. So it gives you a level of accountability that you probably didn't have, because you just don't have time to fill that out in an Excel anymore.
Let's talk about your free CRM consultation. Tell us more about it.
Yeah, so as I mentioned, because I know a lot of companies are still hesitant about if I should get a CRM, am I ready for a CRM, or where should I begin, I do offer like a half an hour consultation. You can just connect with me on LinkedIn and you will book some time to speak through it. And I am happy to help you understand more about your business first, so I can explain to you how a CRM could help your business and a marketing automation platform could help your business grow. And then help you decide when is the right time to invest in such. So most likely it's, you know, you want to have a certain level of content or activity on your site. So I can help you really prioritize when is a good time to do it. And then the third part of this, of the consultation, is simply to allow you to understand what it takes and what it will demand from you to actually make this investment. As I said, sometimes the pushback is about the cost, and the cost is eliminated because it's free to begin with. So you don't have to, you know, invest anything if you're not ready to invest money-wise. But it's a great opportunity to start getting your business organized. And then when you start seeing small, bigger returns and you start seeing results, you can decide to make an investment in pieces. Because HubSpot has now really, you know, what I would say, basically broken up their system. So you can choose which parts you want to invest in. So you don't have to take all of the portal at once. You can do it in parts and therefore take what's most relevant to your business and not take the entire platform.
What is your clientele?
Well, so I work with a lot of startup companies, as I said. I also work with a lot of traditional businesses. So sometimes there are businesses who, you know, family-owned businesses or even like travel agencies and things like that that have existed for a long time. So these are the people who are stuck on Excel because they never really, you know, took the time to build a CRM, or before even when their businesses started, CRMs were still very clunky and still very new to the market and expensive. So they definitely didn't want to get involved in that yet. So these types of businesses, mostly, this is my target for 2020, to really help those types of businesses migrate, because if they want to continue operating in the future, in the next couple of years, they need to move. They will not be able to compete because your competitors are all online and they're all using these types of systems. So they get more savvy and they get more information and they know how to contact their prospects. So they will soon be poaching upon your customers and your prospects, because they too will be finding them online and being having better interactions with them. So a CRM is really about improving customer experience, and this is what every customer wants. So if you don't make the move to invest in something like this, it's only a matter of time before your competition takes you over. So this is really my goal, to help businesses understand that and to get them on board.
Wow. Okay, where can we find your product and how can we connect with you?
Yeah, so as I mentioned before, LinkedIn is the easiest place to find me. You can just look for Resa, R-E-S-A, as in Apple, Gooding, and just send me a connection request. I'm always accepting them. I don't ever refuse anyone. I like to see my numbers go up, so you can connect with me there, send me a message. But you can visit our website, www.cacao, which is C-A-C-A-O, cacaomedia.co, not .com. There are no more .com addresses. So my address is www.cacaomedia.co. And you can see our services there and what we do as well. And if you go to the HubSpot partner page as well, you can find us there as well, Cacao Media. You can see us under there. So,
Claire, and there will be more from Reese in a moment. If you are listening on one of the many podcasting platforms rather than my website and you are encouraged by Reese's journey, go to onlinesuccessjourney.com for a bonus portion of the interview. The Online Success Journey is a wonderful membership community built for people searching for the path to success. We are one big clan and you can be part of this community for free. Once you have joined the clan, click on part two of Reese's Journey or over 200 plus other journeys that are available and learn how you can find the right path for your own online success journey. That's a wrap, clan. Remember, success is a journey. Patience and Reese.
This is not the end of the journey. We hope you've enjoyed listening to part one and want to be sure you know there is a second part to this and every journey podcast at onlinesuccessjourney.com, filled with even more success tips, uplifting stories, and even a bit of fun. There are dozens of episodes only available to the members of the Online Success Journey clan. Check out the website and click on Join the Clan for more information. Patience would like to thank you for listening to this podcast, and she has a free audio gift for you at her website. Go to onlinesuccessjourney.com for instant access to this gift. Of course, you know that listening to the journeys of others helps each of us chart our own path, so make sure you're subscribed to be notified as each new interview is posted. There are so many ways to stay connected to the Online Success Journey and to listen in. And if you're enjoying the podcast, we appreciate your help in telling others. One of the best ways to share the benefit you get is to rate and review it at Stitcher and other sites by clicking the stars or completing the ratings form, by clicking thumbs up and leaving a comment on YouTube, or liking and sharing the podcast on social media. To review the podcast within iTunes, simply open iTunes to the podcast, click on Ratings and Reviews, then write a review. On behalf of Patience and until next time, thanks once more for listening. It is our hope that this podcast will guide you on your own online success journey.